the ride, pal.
Nozzle check of the SRBs. Firing chain is armed. Now suppression water system armed. T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4.
I love that video. Graduates, are you ready to launch? Man, you think about being launched like that. When you saw that, I mean, think of all the effort, all the hard work, all the money, all the time that went into that. And the same is true for you. You've worked hard. People have poured into you. People have helped you all along. And I'm so thankful that we've come to this point, in one sense, to launch you out. I love how that video started. Did you catch what the ground control said to the astronauts there in the beginning? He said, enjoy the ride, pal. And so I say to you, graduates, enjoy the ride. I pray that you have. I pray that when Sarah and Hannah and Jacob will in essence be hearing that countdown, right? 10, 9, 8, 7, as their schools and as their associations celebrate graduation, as they get closer and that to launch them out. Let's be honest, though, middle schoolers, high schoolers, it won't be long. Elementary school students, don't blink because it'll be here before you know it. It goes by very, very quickly. You know, rocket ships and space shuttles, they're made to launch and they're made to fly high and to shine like stars in the night sky. And I say to you this morning, so are young men and young women. To all you graduates, I want to say this to you. This is your time to shine. I want to ask everybody to grab their Bible. Go with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 is our text today. Philippians 2. And here's today's takeaway. Today's takeaway is this. Every Christian generation should shine like stars in the night sky. That's today's takeaway. Every Christian generation should shine like stars in the night sky. Now, notice that I said every Christian generation. And so while this is a message sort of aimed at the situation we're in today here, the celebration that we're recognizing the graduates of 2016, this is actually a message for every graduate and every future graduate, whether you graduated 20, 30, 40 years ago, or whether you graduate in 10 years. This is a message for everybody because every Christian generation should shine like stars in the night sky. I want everybody to close their eyes for just a moment. Close your eyes for just a moment, and I want you to imagine that you're out in the country. I know that's hard. We're out here in Appleton. Pretend that you're out in the country. It's nighttime. The moon is dark. It's not a full moon like we've been having. And the sky is completely clear. What do you expect to see? Just picture in your mind stars everywhere in that canopy of black. Picture stars like Polaris and Sirius and stars like Vega and Regal. Constellations like the Big Dipper and Orion. The Little Dipper and Leo. And just think as you've seen that before. Just picture in your mind how they twinkle, how they shine, how they stand out both in light and in beauty and give us guidance. That's what every Christian generation should do. Open your eyes. Every Christian generation should shine like stars in the night sky. So where am I getting that imagery? Well, from the Bible, of course, Philippians chapter 2. We'll focus in on verse 12 through 16. So if you would, to honor the reading of God's word, would you stand with me this morning? Philippians 2, beginning in the 12th verse, says this. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world," or as the Holman Christian says, as stars in the world, or like the NIV says, like stars in the universe. Verse 16, "holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain, nor labor in vain." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this gathered here, your gathered people this morning. I pray that this would be a message that would not just touch the graduates, not just challenge the graduates, but would challenge every person. And God, I ask that Christ would be magnified through our preaching. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Grab your seat. So this morning, if every Christian generation is to shine like stars in the night sky, how are you, how are we, how am I to do that? Well, our text gives us five actions that I want to point to you out to you this morning. First, if you're going to shine like stars in the night sky, first you need to continue a life of obedience. That's not just for graduates. Guys, that's every one of us. We need to continue a life of obedience. Now, I understand obedience is one of those words that sometimes it just doesn't sit well with us, does it? And especially for a young person as they're trying to grow up and figure out the new boundaries, as they try to figure out who they are as an adult, it can especially be a word that we don't like. Maybe some of you have said this, maybe some of you younger folks here, because I've heard this in my own house, "I can't wait till I'm 18 years old so I can do whatever I want." I said things like that. But I just want to remind you, turning 18 does not remove the call on your life to be obedient. In fact, it actually makes you more responsible for obedience. You see, mom and dad are not going to be there any longer to stand over you and to push you and nudge you. At least they shouldn't be standing over you and pushing and nudging you. This is your time to shine. And obedience, especially to the Lord, is going to be key if you're going to shine. Look at verse 12 here. Philippians 2:12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence." I say to you this morning, if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord, then obedience to him should define your life. It should be the fruit of this faith that you possess. It should be the clothes that you wear, so to speak. Clothes, of course, don't define you, but they are proof, right? They point to something about you. And I pray this morning that you would be clothed in this obedience, this righteousness. So whether you're alone with friends, or whether you're just alone, or with your parents, or with your Bible fellowship class, or even with your pastor, we should be consistently obedient. That's a word, that a synonym for that is what we would call integrity. You're the same person here as you are there. You're the same person with this group of people as you are with that group of people. And just because mom and dad or church folks aren't around should not change how you obey the Lord. Something I found out long ago, if you have to look over your shoulder to see if anybody's watching you do what you're about to do, you should probably not do it, right? We shouldn't have to worry about what other people are because we shouldn't be worried about getting caught, because we should live a life that pleases the Lord. There is nowhere you can go, and there's nobody you can be with that changes the fact that Jesus Christ is your Lord and my Lord, to whom we owe our utmost obedience. So let me ask the congregation a very simple question. Do you love the Lord? Let me ask the graduates a simple question. Same question. Do you love the Lord. Then if you do, and I pray that you do, then I want to point you to John 14, 15, which says this. Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what, church? Keep my commandments, or obey my commandments. Obedience is how you prove your love for God. And let me just say this. I'm not just saying this because I'm the preacher. I'm saying this because the Bible declares it. One of the most important factors for young people, and I want every young person to hear me closely here. One of the most important factors for you walking and continuing in the faith is to continue with the church. To continue with the church, whether you're staying right here in Bowling Green or whether you're moving away to college or for a job or for the military, the church should be a mainstay in your life. If you move, one of the first things on your to-do list should be, where can I gather together with a group of believers to continue and walk out in the faith that God has called me to? The church plays an irreplaceable role in us walking with the Lord. Let me say this very clearly. Early adulthood is not the time to take a break from church. It's one of the most formative times in your life. And you will stunt your spiritual growth if you take a break during this formative period. So don't take a break. Don't take a break. When you eventually move out of the house, maybe it's this summer or maybe it's a few years, mom and dad won't be there to get you up. But I pray that you'll be motivated to continue in that faith in church so that you could walk with the Lord. I pray you'll continue in aspects of obedience, in all aspects, so that you'll shine like stars in the night sky. Here's the second thing. I want to just challenge every generation, every Christian generation. If you're going to shine like stars in the night sky, you must take ownership of your faith. Take ownership of your faith. Now, this kind of goes along with what I just said. But I think here in verse 12 and 13, finishing up 12, going into 13, Paul takes it a step further. Look what he says. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, I want you to be clear that the Bible's not calling you to work for your salvation. That's not what it said. We are not saved by our good works, and I pray that you have lots of good works, but they will not save you, right? We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus alone. But the Bible here is calling each individual, whether you are 18 or 8 or 80, to take ownership of your faith. I say to every one of you this morning, nobody can get saved for you. Nobody can be obedient for you. No one can stand before Jesus one day for you. And perhaps you've been riding the coattails of your parents' faith. And can I just say, rightly so? Amen? Parents, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're to set the example and you're to bring them along with you. They are to ride your coattails. But there comes a point when they're ready to launch that they then are responsible to God. It has to be your faith because that's what's going to carry you through. I want you to listen very closely to what Jesus says. Matthew 24, verse 13. He says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And so I say to you this morning, it's not how you start out. It's how you finish. It's not how you start out. It's not how you launch. It's how you land. Paul testifies to this in 2 Timothy 4, 7. He says this. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I pray that is every one of your testimonies. But graduates, I want to speak just specifically to you for a moment. You're about to enter a time of testing. You do. Those of you who went before you have been tested and tried in this way, and you're about to enter into a time of testing. You've already been through times of testing, but here comes one particular one, and the question is this: will you continue in the faith, or will you not? And I pray that God has his way in your life and not the devil. And so I pray that you endure to the end. But here's the really cool thing. The Bible says that God here will not leave us without help. If we'll receive it, if we'll draw on him. Look back at verse 13 here, Philippians 2:13. God here in verse 12 calls us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But then he says this in verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That means that God will work through us to give us the want to and to give us the doing. The want to and the doing. God will be working in you to help you live a life that pleases him. I love the promise from Philippians 1:16, which says, I am sure of this, that he, that's God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's begun a good work, and he will finish that good work. But I say this to you, it happens all by faith. So you got to take ownership of that faith. It's got to be your faith. And if you do, you'll shine like stars in the night sky. Here's the third thing. Our text says this. I think it points us to this principle that if we're going to shine like stars in the night sky, we've got to keep a positive and a thankful attitude. Talk about counterculture, right? I mean, a lot, so many young folks that they're more worried about protesting and doing all these things. They got all this pent-up anger and all this injustice they're fighting against. But look here, Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now the world, it always grumbles and complains. The world is never satisfied. It's never content. The world gives thanks to nobody. But here, guys, is one of the ways that we distinguish ourselves from the world. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Even if it's a dirty job. Even if it's difficult. Even if it's boring. Even if it's grunt work. Keep a positive, thankful attitude. My first job when I turned 16 years old was right here in Bowling Green. Right down the road here on Scottsville Road at Kroger. Not the one by Kmart. The one that's the bowling alley now. How many of you guys remember when that was the bowling alley, when the bowling alley was Kroger? Okay, good. I said this one time when I was filling in for Jennifer for the youth class and somebody raised their hand and was like, I was born in like 1997, and I don't remember that at all. It's like, you have those moments when you just feel old. That was one of those moments, okay? But when I was there, I was a bag boy at Kroger, and for some reason, one of the bag boy's jobs was to make sure that the bathrooms are clean. Now, I don't know if you're the type that like volunteers for that kind of job. Not me, man. That is gross. That's really, really gross, especially a public bathroom. I mean, it's enough to clean mine, but to clean a public one. But I would take my turn. And eventually I began to notice that it seemed like it was always my turn. Like, well, did I do something wrong here? And so I went and to my supervisor and I asked her, I said, what's going on here? It seems like every shift, when I'm sort of at the end of the shift here, you're making me go clean the bathroom. And here's what she said back to me. She said, here's why, Ben. She said, because you do a good job. And because you don't fuss about it. At first, my first thought was, I need to start fussing. I got to get out of this. But then I simply said this, thank you. Thank you. And then I went and I did my job. I was thankful for the job. And I was thankful that she saw a positive difference in me. Can I just say to you young folks, if you will be faithful with the small things, you never know what God will give you. I didn't know at the time. Cleaning bathrooms, he was preparing me to be a pastor, right? Right, Pastor Mark? Amen. Praise God. You know, I mean, but a life of service. If you'll just be faithful, whatever it is, maybe it's that internship that you already have your mindset on, or maybe it's that mission trip, or maybe it's simply just being responsible for your living space. Praise God. If we could just get our kids to be responsible for their own shoes even. If you'll be faithful with those small things, God will do amazing things with you. Christian, I want you to always remember this. Colossians 3, 23 says, this should always be at the forefront of our mind. It says this, Colossians 3, 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Ephesians 6, 7, it says essentially the same thing. It says, render service with a good will as to the Lord and not to men. And so no matter what you do, no matter what you face, we can always find motivation to have a positive, thankful attitude because we're not doing it for that boss. We're not doing it for that teacher or professor or even our parents. We're doing it for God. And that changes everything. You study as unto the Lord. You play football or whatever you do as unto the Lord. You work as unto the Lord. Keep a positive and thankful attitude. And when you do that, according to Philippians 2:15 here, you will be a blameless, innocent children of God without blemish in midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Fourth, if you're going to shine like stars in the night sky, keep the Bible as your foundation for life. Young and old alike, it doesn't matter how old or how young. Look at verse 16. Holding fast to the word of life. I cannot stress to you enough, beloved, how important this book is. Not the book itself, but the revelation contained therein. God has spoken. God has spoken. And it's essential. This right here is essential for walking with Jesus. Not just owning a Bible. I don't know what Pastor Michael gave you in the bag, but it could have been a Bible. A lot of times we give graduates Bibles. It's one thing to have a Bible and set it on the shelf. It's another thing to take it and open it and devour it. To devour it, to eat it, to take it in, to impart it in to your spirit. Holding on to it as the word of life, as life itself. Because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. Again, graduates, you're about to be tested. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to inform you of what's coming. And I pray that you, as you go into college or into the workforce or into the military, that when your faith is challenged, I pray the Bible will remain your ultimate source for truth. I pray that you'll keep the Bible as your foundation. Let me point to you why the Bible is so important from Psalm 119. I want to show you three things here that show us why the Bible is so important. First, it shows us how to walk the path of God. Most of us probably have this memorized. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, without the Bible, we will stumble and we will get on the wrong path. Can I get an amen from that? Right? Without the Bible, you will stumble and get on the wrong path. But if you'll have the scripture, it'll light your way. It'll show you the way to go. When you come to that fork, should I go right or should I go left? The Bible will tell you which way to go. Second, the Bible guards you against sin. Psalm 109, verse 11 says, I've stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. It guards our hearts from sin. Third, and this is really important, it makes you wise. Did you know there's a difference between being educated and being wise? Wisdom has nothing to do with that degree that you hang on your wall someday. It has nothing to do with the certification that you have or the job that you get or whatever it is, the accomplishments that you earn. Wisdom has to do with whether or not you understand who God is and apply Him to your life. Psalm 119, verse 130. Says the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. College degrees can get you educated, but the Bible will make you wise, which is far prized above a degree. So keep the Bible as your foundation in life. And then finally this morning, if you're going to shine like stars in the night sky, here's what you must do. You must make those who poured into you proud. Can we have our parents of our graduates to stand for just a moment? We had them stand a moment ago. The parents of our graduates, please stand for just a moment. I don't mean to embarrass you. We just want to, just for a moment here, give you guys a round of applause. Amen. Thank you. All right, that's enough embarrassment, right? I want you to notice how Paul ends here in verse 16. He says this, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. You see, Paul had poured himself out into the Philippian people. He had given everything he had into these people, and he didn't want to see it go to waste. Particularly, I say to you graduates, but I say this to everybody. Where you are at this point has been a team effort. And people have sacrificed, right? People have worked. Mom and dad have poured into you. They've cried over you. They've laughed with you. They've carried you here and carried you there and paid for this and paid for that. Teachers have done the same. Your siblings have done the same. Coaches, friends, family. Your church brothers and sisters, they've all poured into you. And as you launch out, I pray that you would strive to make them proud of you. There's nothing wrong with trying to make them proud of you. That's not the only motivation, because you want God to be proud of you. But I pray for those that poured into you, at the end of it, they would say, great job, son. Great job, my daughter. Don't make them feel like they wasted their time. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be a success by the world standards. We as Christians, we don't measure success. In fact, oftentimes the way the world measures success is not how we measure success. But here's what it does mean. It simply means at least that you become a strong, responsible member of society who looks to make a difference in whatever you do, and who loves the Lord. Amen? Amen. Listen, above all, love the Lord. I say to you graduates, and I say to you those of you who are coming up to graduate, and those of you who are recent graduates, listen to this very closely. If you want to make those who poured into you proud of you, continue to follow Jesus. Continue to follow Jesus. Every parent in this room would wholeheartedly echo 3 John 4, which says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Parents, is there a greater joy? There's not. It doesn't matter how much money your children make. It doesn't matter what community they live in. It doesn't matter what degrees they get or how many all-pro teams they one day get on. What matters most is that they walk in truth. And I say to you graduates, nothing would make us prouder. I say to some of you this morning, there may be someone here this morning that needs to begin to walk in the truth. Not that you continue walking in the truth, but you need to begin walking in the truth. This morning, you've come to this church without Jesus. You've come to this church loaded down with the weight of your sin. And the truth of the matter is that your sin, if you were to die today, you would be condemned for what you've done. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so if you've come in here this morning without Jesus, let me just make sure you understand. If you were to stand before God today, you would be condemned. But God has given you an opportunity this morning to begin to walk in the truth by repenting of sin and by trusting in Christ as your Savior, and you too can shine like a star in the night sky. Class of 2016, I don't know what the Lord has planned for you, But I do know this. If you will follow the Lord, you'll be blessed beyond measure. Here's my final prayer. May God bless this generation and every Christian generation as they shine brightly for Jesus Christ.